Hi, everybody. I'm Terry Brown. This is Bass Fan Radio. And with me today is The Bachelor. How about that, folks? Byron Velvick, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me on the program today. I appreciate it.
Well, you have to be busier than anything possible. I mean, with the tournament schedules and the stuff, you've already were real busy. But now you've got this television program that's just, pegging the meter. You've got to be just absolutely buried.
I am. I'm really busy right now promoting everything with the show. Right now, ABC's got me running around getting a bunch of stuff, promoted for every Wednesday at 9 o'clock. It's the show right now that's been the key thing. So I've been fishing some tournaments like the U.S. Open. But for the most part right now, when the iron's hot, you got to strike.
Well, there's no doubt about it. You're raising the bar in fishing for a great deal. I mean, you think about this, you're kind of getting some stardom here. Everybody talks about the fame that you get from this Bachelor program, but you're also bringing some great things for the sport of bass fishing, I would think, and you got to be pretty proud of that.
I mean, I didn't get in it to do anything with the sport of bass fishing. I really got in it just because my friends told me that would be a great way to meet a great woman, and ultimately it's kind of like icing on the cake that people now have an idea of what professional bass fishing really is. And I mean, that's a compliment to the sport that at least people now, they identify better with what we do. But ultimately, I just wanted to find me a great girl.
Well, you've been lucky there. We can't go into that because, the show's still running. But as you look at this thing, people that are in the sport, the guys that follow it every day like you and I do, that are actively involved in those kind of things, you think, hey, everybody knows about bass fishing. They should know about it. It's on TV, all this kind of stuff. But, there's millions of people that had no idea what a professional bass fisherman did.
Oh, yeah. You know what? We live in our own little microcosm. I mean, we think that you take it for granted that everybody knows what we do because we're so entrenched in it. But, people outside of it, I always likened it to being a professional miniature golfer, and you and I getting on a plane with a guy, and the guy turns to us and says, I play miniature golf for a living. And you and I look at him and go, well, that's something you do for fun, isn't it? And you go, no, this guy makes a living miniature golfing. I mean, it's that same weird concept. And when you tell people you're a professional fisherman, they look at you like we're professional miniature golfers.
Well, that's a great analogy because, it is one of those things where when you're in it, you think everybody knows about it, but when you're really not in it, it's kind of a thing where you think it's a guy sitting on a bucket along a bank with a dew worm or whatever.
Right, and doing it for fun. So I've made jokes about this, and I've actually drawn comparisons down the line to where you got D. Thomas as a flipper. Well, imagine some guy sitting on a plane. Well, I invented the putt-putt. I'm the world's greatest miniature golfer, and I'm known for the putt-putt. I'm the king of the putt-putt. You're like, man, I've never heard of miniature golf, let alone the putt-putt, whatever the heck that is.
That windmill goes around. You hit it through there, get in the clown's mouth. It's a great deal. I've been out there. I think I can make it on the tour there. But, as you look at this Bachelor thing, you're an accomplished angler. This isn't somebody they just picked up because you were a good-looking guy or something. You're an accomplished angler. And on top of that, now, you're going to get some stardom that maybe you didn't think you'd ever get.
Oh, you know what? It's not about stardom. It's 15 minutes of fame, and the clock is ticking. I'm sure I'm down to about 13 or 12 at this point, and the clock's ticking down, and I'm going to keep on fishing. I'm going to hopefully be with the woman that I've met through the show. I'm allowed to at least say that I've found a great person, and I'm looking forward to spending time with her on the water. And ultimately, the rest of it is just, it is what it is. But, at 40 years old, being a bass fisherman 40 years old, I've seen a lot. I've been around. I've been married and divorced before, so you really don't take yourself too serious when it comes to all this TV stuff and this notoriety. You just kind of take it graciously and smile and thank people for recognizing you and hope they watch the show and move on.
Well, the popularity of the show is unbelievable. It's an unbelievably neat show, and you see it, and it's in a very short capsule of time. You watch the roses be given away and all that kind of stuff. But in reality, this thing takes forever, doesn't it?
It's a lot longer process. Yeah, the rose ceremonies themselves are agonizing, both emotionally, because you're in a very emotionally charged situation with these wonderful women that you've met, and at the same time, it takes forever to give each rose out, and it's all about camera angles, and it's such a long, drawn out process. Not only the whole experience, but even the rose ceremonies themselves, and it was interesting to see the inner workings of a reality TV show from that side. If nothing else, what a great life experience.
Well, you think about this. This is all under this cameras and lights and everything else. And I'm sure at night you had to stew over, one situation over another one when you meet each one of these ladies and really figuring it out. How much of that do you really feel happens, and how much of it, is one of those things where you had to really think about it?
It's really difficult. I mean, the experience, if you go in there having any sensitivity towards another human being and their emotions, that you're a part of this process, and so are they. We all signed up for it together, but at the same time, you have to make some really hard decisions, and ultimately, at every rose ceremony, you have to say goodbye to people that, A, you don't want to hurt, and B, you don't want to, you'd be lucky to have met in the real world and on the outside of this crazy power dating situation. And at night when you're there, it's difficult, and I'd fall into a pretty big state of depression and pretty bummed out after each rose ceremony because I knew it was tough saying goodbye and watching people just have to leave the experience because of my decision. That's awful. It's a lot of pressure, and I didn't like it too much.
Well, you got to think about this. We power fish. Now you're power dating.
It's exactly right. It's power dating versus power fishing. And I mean, you're out there and you're going 24/7. There's no TVs, no radios, no music. It's just dating. It's getting to these women, and that's all it is. You don't sit in front of the TV and watch anything. You don't listen to music. You just date. And when you're not dating, you're thinking about who you're dating or writing about who you're dating. But you're there for a reason. That's to try to make a connection.
Well, that's a rough duty. I know somebody's got to do it, and I'm sure that, you know, you're feeling pretty bad about having this opportunity. But, you know, you got to be kind of the envy. Everybody's looking at this Bachelor show and thinking, man, you know, look at all these ladies out there, and this guy's going to get a pick from a whole bunch of them that are very nice-looking ladies and got great personalities and that kind of stuff. And you got to get down to that final one. That's got to be a tough deal.
It is very tough. You know, and I'm definitely not the – no one's pitying me, I'll tell you that. I mean, it looks like it's an enviable place to be, but when you're in those shoes – and you're there having to make those decisions and say goodbye to people you wish you'd met outside of the experience and watching the experience change people and yourself changing through the experience. It's very difficult, but at the same time, it's you know, it's a necessary evil to hopefully finding women that – I mean, I'm not going to find these women on tour. I'm certainly not going to find them, you know, around Vegas. This is a great caliber of women that ABC has brought to this experience, and hopefully they believe that me and her can make something out of this.
Well, you're not got anything. You're not going down to the bait and tackle store and finding these girls ahead of time. I thought that's kind of what how this worked.
There are no mermaids in the lakes, and there are no. It's hard to find a really good. I mean, it's just difficult out there on the tour because you're basically fishing from morning till dark. You come in, you put your boat on charge, you watch the weather channel, and you go to sleep. I mean, that's your life. You know, when you're on tour, you don't go out to the bars. You don't go out running around. You fish, and when you're not fishing, you're getting something to eat. You know, you're watching the weather channel to see what the weather's going to do tomorrow, getting your tackle ready, and the next day you're on it again.
Well, or you're in your car, you know, which is not another – it's not a place where you're going to go find, you know, ladies or find a mate or something like that. It's amazing to me how this show has gained popularity since the first one. You know, you've had a quarterback, you know, that played in the NFL. We got a pro fisherman. But it's really kind of hitting home with a lot of people, I think.
Yeah, you know, I guess they probably had a method to the madness as far as the casting of who they were going to pick, and I don't know about that part. I think they really wanted a guy, from my standpoint, that was older, a little more sincere in finding a life partner or somebody that they could be serious with. I think they figured that I'm not the kind of guy that's going to, you know, find a great woman and then go off and play the rock star card, you know, and start going out, hanging out at the Playboy Mansion or anything like that, because, you know, 40 years old, it's time to be serious about what you're going to do for the rest of your life and look at who you're going to spend the rest of your life possibly with. And, you know, I've tried it once before. It didn't work, but I'm looking forward to trying it again.
Well, what kind of feedback did you get from the ladies? You know, let's say the first group of them came through and they found out you're a professional angler. What did they think about that?
That was comical. They really – immediately women try to size you up. They're like, well, you know, what kind of money do you make doing that? I mean, all of them – it's that same old – I call it the Newport Beach thing. You know, down in Orange County, a lot of times they – before they want to know much about you, they want to see that TRW statement and get an idea of what you're worth and what your debt to asset ratio is. And ultimately, in the same way, some of these women are like, so what do you get paid for that? Well, you know, it really depends on how the fish are biting that week. And they're like, well, give me an idea. I go, well, you know, if you have a good term, you can make 200 grand or 500 grand. You never know. They're like, oh, okay.
Well, that kind of fits in. Once you hear that 500 grand or 200 grand, that probably fits a lot nicer than maybe, you know, well, I get an extra fishing rod or something.
Yeah, I can
like that.
Keep us rich in fish, honey. I hope you know how to cook.
Have the hush puppies ready when I get home. Right?
That's correct, because I'll bring the catfish. We'll be able to eat fish. Move in with me, and you can eat fish forever. I mean, it's not like that.
All right, well, here's the deal. You know, you and I are going to get a chance to talk today, and when you can, when this thing's all finished, all right, we're going to talk again here
right.
At Bass Fan Radio, and we're gonna let the people know with the final experience what that was like and all those kind of things. Byron, I think it's the coolest thing that's happened to bass fishing in a long time, and it couldn't happen to a better guy. And here at Bass Fan, we're looking forward to talking to you right after the final show.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for listening, and thanks for following the show every Wednesdays at 9 o'clock. It's definitely something worth watching. I mean, I enjoyed the experience, and I think it came out pretty well.
Well, I'm Terry Brown, and this has been Bass Fan Radio.